We're going to turn to God's Word again. We're going to turn to the book of Leviticus, Leviticus chapter 23, verses 9 to 22. We're going to read about two very particular festivals that Israel were told to observe, the festival of first fruits and the festival of weeks. Both of them are linked to our harvest celebrations. Leviticus chapter 23. Verse 9 to 22. And I encourage you to keep your Bibles open because we're going to be working our way through some of this passage. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the Israelites and say to them, whenever you enter the land that I am going to give you and reap its harvest, bring to the priest a sheaf of the first grain you harvest. He is to wave the sheaf before the Lord so it will be accepted on your behalf. The priest is to wave it on the day after the Sabbath. On the day you wave the sheaf, you must sacrifice as a burnt offering to the Lord a lamb, a year old without defect, together with its grain offering of one-fifth of an ephah of the finest flour mixed with olive oil, a food offering presented to the Lord, a pleasing aroma, and its drink offering, a quarter of a hin of wine. You must not eat any bread or roasted or new grain until the very day you bring this offering to your God. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come, wherever you live. From the day after the Sabbath, the day you brought the sheaf of the wave offering, count 7 full weeks. Count 50 days up to the day after the 7th Sabbath. And then present an offering of new grain to the Lord. From wherever you live, bring 2 loaves made of 1/5 of an ephah of the finest flour, baked with yeast, as a wave offering of the first fruits to the Lord. Present with this bread 7 male lambs, each a year old and without defect, 1 young bull and 2 rams. They will be a burnt offering to the Lord, together with their grain offerings and drink offerings, a food offering, an aroma pleasing to the Lord. Then sacrifice 1 male goat for a sin offering and 2 lambs each a year old for a fellowship offering. The priest is to wave the 2 lambs before the Lord as a wave offering, together with the bread of the first fruits. They are a sacred offering to the Lord for the priest. On that same day you are to proclaim a sacred assembly and not do any ordinary work. This is to be a lasting ordinance for the generations to come wherever you live. When you reap the harvest of your land, do not reap to the very edges of your field or gather the gleanings of your harvest. Leave them for the poor and the foreigner residing among you. I am the Lord your God." Amen. And we ask God's blessing on the reading of His Word. I wonder, do we ever take time to think about why we celebrate harvest or why we decorate the church in the way that we do? If you excuse the pun, the harvest is rooted in the Old Testament sacrificial system. In the passage from Leviticus, which we've just read, we read about 2 Israelite festivals, the offering of the first fruits, and the Festival of Weeks. And both of these celebrations were large public festivals. Everyone took part. And when Israel eventually settled into the Promised Land and the temple was finally built in Jerusalem, they would make a pilgrimage to the temple in order to celebrate. The festival of the first fruits was held at the end of the growing season, but before the harvest had begun. The people were to bring a sheaf of the first grain ready for harvest to the priest, and he would present this to the Lord in the tabernacle and later in the temple. The festival of weeks was more akin to what we know as harvest. It was held 50 days after the first fruits, and the people were to present their grain, their flour, and their bread to the Lord in the temple as an offering. The significance being, it wasn't only just the harvest of the field being presented to God, but the products made from that harvest were also presented. And these two festivals were linked. But what was their purpose? How do they help us to understand harvest? Well, the whole point of the celebrations was to remind the Israelites to give thanks to God in anticipation for what he was going to do, and to express thankfulness to God through their generosity. It was about thankful anticipation and thankful generosity. The whole idea of the first fruits was to be thankful for God in anticipation for what he was about to do. Someone once commented to me on how our harvest here in Moneydig is so early. They said, how can we celebrate something that hasn't been gathered in yet? And to a certain degree, I understand what they meant. Because even in my short time here in Moneydig, I understand that the harvest isn't in until it's in. It only takes one night of stormy weather and heavy rain to undo a year's hard work. Living here has taught me what a wind that could strip corn really means. And farming life is a very finely balanced life, and it doesn't take much to cause loss, whether it's in the fields or whether it's with TB testing in cattle. And I've no doubt that it was the same in the promised land of Israel, that it was still a finely balanced way of life. And yet God had instructed that he should be thanked before the harvest was gathered in. And this instruction went further, because not only had the people to give thanks in advance, but over the period of this festival, they were not allowed to make anything with the grain that they were harvesting. You see, God had to have his share first. And so this festival all became a question of trust. Whenever we're celebrating harvest, we are thanking God for what he will do for us, not just what he has done. And this goes beyond simply the provision in the field, because while we are incredibly thankful for God's goodness in the fact that we have so much to eat, but the New Testament takes this thankfulness further. It uses the Old Testament festivals to explain to us who Jesus is and what he has done for us. For example, very often we refer to Jesus as the Passover lamb because of how his sacrifice redeems us in the same way the Passover lamb and that sacrifice redeemed the people of Israel whenever they were in Egypt. The Passover sacrifice is used to describe how Jesus defeats death and gives life to new life to each of us who would believe. Likewise, Paul, writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verses 22 to 23, said, "For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the firstfruits, then at his coming, those who belong to him." Paul is using the Old Testament a festival of first fruits to explain Jesus' resurrection. The first fruits point to what God will do. And so it is with Jesus. His resurrection points to what God will do for all who believe and trust in him. Just as Christ was raised from the dead, so the promise is that all who believe will also be raised from the dead. 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the Jews were celebrating Passover in Jerusalem. Ellen read that story for us earlier. And that festival of Pentecost was originally the Feast of Weeks, the festival God had instructed should be celebrated after the first fruits. And so at Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, the church experienced the coming of the Holy Spirit in a way that had never been known before. And this was a demonstration of God's faithfulness, that 50 days after Jesus' resurrection, we get that glimpse of resurrection power. We have the first fruits in Jesus, and then the beginning of the harvest at Pentecost. And so harvest is as much about thanking God for what he has done through Jesus as it is about thanking God for our crops. And because our harvest is so early, we thank God for what he will do in our fields. But we're also thanking him for what he will do in our lives because of how he was resurrected from the dead. And this is what Paul meant when he said in Philippians 1, verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. That we can be confident that the work Christ started in us when he was raised from the dead, so God will carry that to completion. But of course, we can only be confident if we actually trust in Christ, if we actually do what he has told us to do. And so we are thankful for what God will do. And that thankfulness leads to generosity. Harvest is synonymous with offering. We offer gifts of flowers and fruit and vegetables, and it's wonderful to see the children involved in it this morning as well. But at harvest, we also ask people to give more in the way of money towards building fund, some for harvest is a time when they give much of their annual freewill offerings. And it was the same in the Old Testament. The offerings presented to God were used not just as burnt offerings, but they were given to the priest. Because the priest, unlike the rest of the people in Israel, he didn't have any land allotted to him. He didn't have any fields where he could grow his own food. And so he had to rely on the generosity of his neighbors. And this was set up through the sacrificial system. He relied on the other tribes for food and shelter. And many of these Old Testament festivals were a way of symbolically thanking God, but very practically providing for the priests. But it wasn't just the priests who were to benefit from the harvest celebrations. God gave strict rules on how harvests should be gathered in. You weren't allowed to go right to the very edge of your field, nor were you allowed to go back over your field and pick up the bits and pieces that were left behind. When you were collecting olives and grapes off the vine, you could only go over the vine once, and anything that was missed or fell on the floor, it all had to be left where it was. And this was so that the poor, the homeless, the orphan, the widows, that they could go into the fields and into the vineyards and collect something that would keep them going in hard times. And the best example of this in Scripture was how Ruth collected the gleanings among Boaz's field. This isn't God showing a lack of concern about efficiency or wanting food to be wasted. This is about believing that God will do what he has said he will do. And so it's about being thankful to God in anticipation for all that we have been promised. You see, if we actually believe that in Jesus Christ we have everything that we need, if we've begun to taste those first fruits of his resurrection power through that Spirit that came at Pentecost and that still comes today, then why would we not be generous with what we have? After Pentecost, the church began to share everything. Not because they had a guilty conscience about having money, but because they believed and had sampled that first fruits of what God had promised through Jesus. You see, in so many ways, how we give, our attitude as well as what we give, tells us what we believe about Jesus. And therefore, God is constantly calling us to thank him by being generous, by trusting God more, and by trusting him more so we become more thankful. And by becoming more thankful, we become more generous because we realize the richness of God's goodness to us in Christ. And that's why it's so important for the church and for individual Christians to do what they can to relieve suffering wherever it may be found. Why do we celebrate harvest? We celebrate harvest in anticipation of what God will do, not only in the fields, but in our lives through Jesus Christ, the first fruits. But we celebrate harvest in order that we would experience and show thankful generosity for all that Christ has done for us, and that we are trusting in him.